Thank you, Justin, for your prayer. As I meditated upon a message and seeking direction, what the Lord would have me to share this morning, my mind was thinking in a different vein of thought until the end of the week, when some of the happenings began to happen relating to our church family, and the sermon that had been rolling around in my mind did not seem to be, my mind went a different channel after that. So I don't know what you're experiencing this morning in your own hearts and lives. I don't know what you're seeking. We've come to worship, and sometimes we feel differently than other times. Sometimes we gather together to worship, and we may not be going through anything particular, but we're blessed anyway by being there. And sometimes we gather to worship and our hearts are burdened. We feel a need and we're reaching out to God in a more deeper way, maybe, seeking His direction and His feeling. I'm not sure what you're experiencing today. I'd like to share with you what God has laid on my heart to share. It's been mentioned, I believe, in our one time this morning about the hurricane Dorian that's churning down in the Caribbean Sea and approaching Bahamas, I believe, and there is anticipation that it may hit Florida or come up the coast further, packing high winds, dangerous weather, a dangerous storm. Now think with me, if you were one of the individuals who lived in the area where you're expecting this storm to give a direct hit. They're expecting this storm to come directly into the area where you live. What would you be doing? Well, no doubt you'd be preparing, probably, wouldn't you? I saw a news article where a man was on his roof and he was tying down his roof. And I thought, wow, what's that going to do? But I imagine that does something, tie down your roof. There's probably a certain amount of strength that, you know, ropes or whatever. There's a wind that is, let me say it this way. There is a wind that is probably just a little less powerful than the ropes on the roof. Sometimes. I would imagine that there are individuals who are seeking shelter inside of strong buildings, concrete, or they know where they're going to go when this storm hits, because they know that where they're living, it may not be safe. And they're going to go to a place that is safe. They're going to go inside of this building because it is strong. Well, we face things in life, don't we, too? The storms of life come and blow, and sometimes we put ropes over our roofs, don't we? Try to hold things together. Turn with me to Psalm 62. I'd like to read this psalm. Title of the message this morning is God Our Rock. God, our rock. I'd like to read Psalm 62 and then just look at a few points of experiencing God as our rock. You know, as Christian people this morning, as people who that have come to love the Lord, We have a tremendous source of refuge and comfort and shelter that the world knows nothing of. And I'm just challenged in my own life. Am I finding courage, strength, and comfort in the provision of God and His, and who He is, His refuge, His sustaining power through the storms of life? I want to read Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. In this psalm we notice that, I notice the individual who is expressing his testimony that God is his rock. God is his refuge. He is finding courage and strength for his life in God. I notice, secondly, in verses 3 to 4, that there are individuals who are on the sidelines saying, and individuals who are on the sideline who are oppressing, or who are, they calls them here in verse 3 that they're a bowing wall and a tottering fence. They do not know the rock and the refuge that the psalmist knows. They are almost making little of it, or mocking it, or it says in verse 4, they delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. In other words, they're hypocritical. They do not know the blessedness of the rock and the refuge. I thought it would be a good message sometime to preach on bowing walls and tottering fences, in how we relate to circumstances in life that other people are going through. Be a message for another time. And then I see in verses, well, it talks about these men again in verse 9, men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are lie. Well, in verses 9 to 10, I see that as man, we have a tendency to become sidetracked in our seeking for security and refuge and safety. We have a tendency to become sidetracked. and to begin to look and put confidence in material earthly means and forget that God is all sovereign. He holds the power. He is the powerful one. He is the one who can do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. Not implying by this that we should not seek medical treatment. Not implying at all that we should not seek better financial stability for our family. It's not what I'm asking about. Or that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that beyond those things. Must be a rest and trust in God that comes from relationship and experience of Him, from knowing Him as God, from knowing Him and from... just blesses my heart as I think about that. In times of distress and anguish of heart, our soul finds comfort in God as we cling to Him. In the natural sense, we know what it is like to be walking on slippery stones across a creek or to be stepping across ice, and we walk gingerly. We want to have sure footing. So it is in life as we navigate the journey. And loved ones, this morning, I just want to call out to you again the importance of knowing God, knowing God, accepting the provisions of Jesus. Have a heart that's surrendered to Him. Sometimes we are led through trials and difficulties that look insurmountable to us, but our God knows about these too. The earth and its systems can never supply the comfort and peace in our lives that simple faith and trust in God can. We trust Him. I'd like to look now. I just simply have four steps. What are some steps in finding our refuge in God? And you could say, preacher, you know, we hear this all the time. But really, how do we find refuge in God? By God's grace, I would just like to share with you. How we may be able to do that. Number one, we find refuge in God, our rock. Remember, we're looking at God, our rock. Finding refuge often requires a patient waiting. Finding refuge often requires a patient waiting. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Down in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 30 and verse 20, 33 and verse 20. Just turn back to there and read that. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. You know, one of the hardest things that us humans have, one of the things that is really hard for us humans to do, and that is wait. It is really hard for us to wait. How long shall we wait? It is really hard to wait. Psalm 145 and verse 15. Linford read that this morning, and I saw this. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou givest them their meat in due season. What does it mean to wait? Finding refuge often requires a waiting. What happens while you wait? This word wait carries with it the thought of to be still, to be quiet, to be dumb, to hold your peace, to just wait quietly. I remember the times in Israel's history, I believe it was, where God told them to just to wait and see what God will do. In times of ordination, we come to the moment where the books are put up front, and then we pray, and the books are they're brought back up front, and then we wait. We wait to see the revelation. Waiting is hard. What makes waiting so hard? One of the reasons that waiting is so hard is because there is an expectation of good. There's an expectation of good. I think of children where maybe it is their birthday, child's birthday, and a child's birthday, and he or she knows that she's getting a birthday gift. And supper is over, and it's time for the birthday gift. And the child is sitting there waiting, but very expectant. You can see it on their face. They're expecting good. They're wanting something. And but we wait on God. We're expecting good. Our expectation is from Him. Now, if you're waiting on God and you're waiting on His, your expectation is of Him. But what is God going to give you? God has promised in His Word that He will give us what is good for us. And furthermore, on top of that, He has promised that He will give us the grace to walk through whatever that is. Our expectation is of Him. Our expectation is hope in His deliverance. We hope in His ability to carry us through. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 3, I'm going to read. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in this sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. We could just keep on reading here, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Loved ones, this morning, there is light in the darkness that you may be traveling through. There is light in that darkness, not because the darkness or the journey is removed and taken away, but because God, our rock, has power beyond the darkness. He has power to give grace through it, to make us well, to make the valley of Baca well, to bring life and hope through it. I say, more hurting or more painful than a hard experience itself is to go through the hard experience with the absence of God and his people. That is more painful still. Let's wait patiently on God. And in our waiting, yes, I believe God wants us to be diligent. I believe God wants us to seek help. But let's be still before him. The word wait, again, to be still, to be quiet, to hold peace. My family, no doubt, is sitting here hearing me, and they're chuckling, possibly, because they know Dad sometimes is not still. Friday evening, we were journeying home from Heart of Lancaster, visiting my wife's sister in the hospital. And we're traveling home. And I don't know what it is, but I heard something. And I was hoping it wasn't what I heard. I didn't say anything right away, but I heard something. And to me, it sounded like a flat tire. And I didn't want a flat tire. I didn't even want to think about a flat tire on Friday night with heavy traffic on 222. I wanted to go home because I was tired and I wanted to sleep. And we got on 222 and we're driving, and my wife says, I heard the ding on the dash. Oh no. And all of a sudden she says, low tire pressure. I said, well, better pull off. Right front tire, low pressure. So I hopped out and I looked and kicked the tire. Great, it's just a faulty sensor. We're good to go. And I hopped back in, and she was driving, starts going again, and she says the pressure's lower and something didn't sound right. Pulled off again. Well, the back tire was flat. And I don't know if you ever had a flat tire and you were sitting on the shoulder of 222 southbound on a Friday night with a van load of children and it's dark. Well, I'm preaching to myself. My children will tell you that Dad gets work done. Because I just wanted the tire to be changed now, and I wanted to be going home. But anyway, make a long story short, the spare had air in it, and we got the spare tire on, and no one got hurt. But I had to think of the individuals who we have read about in the news who were killed along 222. I had to think about that. So even in that experience, God was good to us. Two young men all of a sudden showed up and said that they went past us and they saw somebody might be in trouble, and they apparently turned around and came back, wondered if we're okay, and if we got things under control. God is looking out for us, even in those situations. Wait, be still, wait, hold peace. Number two, how do we find refuge? In God our rock. Number two, we find refuge through trust. I have it worded this way. Finding refuge requires trust. Finding refuge requires trust. To trust is to commit ourselves to his care. To commit ourselves into his care. Verse 8 of Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to him. To trust is to commit ourselves, I said, into his care. How do we commit ourselves into his care? We pour out our hearts before him. Pour out our hearts. What does it mean to pour out your heart? When was the last time you poured out your heart to God? Maybe you poured out your heart to your wife. Maybe you poured out your heart to your husband. Or maybe we don't pour out our hearts. Maybe we just keep it all bottled up. Maybe we don't say how we feel. You see, individuals will pour out their heart to someone who they know really cares. God cares about our journeys. Number three, a proper response of an overwhelmed heart is to cry to the rock of our salvation. That's a proper response, to cry to the rock of our salvation, to pour out our heart to him. You see, it is in recognizing that God, our rock, is higher than we. He's higher than us. He's higher than our burdens that we are carrying. Say it this way. It is in recognizing that God, our rock, is higher than we and our burdens we are carrying. Those that are too heavy for us alone, that we cry out to him for help. You see, recognizing our need, crying out for help. Remember Peter walking on the water, cried out, "Lord, save me." He began to sink. To pour out our hearts to God brings release to our soul. Brings release to our soul. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. To cry brings release. Trust God, our rock. Trust in him at all times, you people. God is our refuge. He is a refuge for us. And number four, remember that power belongs to God. Do you believe this morning that God is able to bring restoration into your situation? That God has the power to bring restoration to your situation. Do you believe in that? I take notice, and I talked about this at the outstart of the message, in verses 9 or verse 10. And I just want to raise a caution. I see three things. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. And if riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. I see three different approaches that man can use, that man uses sometimes to solve their problems themselves. It is our tendency to trust in things that we can see and to manipulate life in the very, to manipulate life in the way that we think it should be. Some, in an effort to find refuge, may become oppressive to others. They come off course in finding fulfillment and refuge in God, and they begin to find, try to find that in people. and they become oppressive. You see, husbands and wives, it's paramount that we both individually have a relationship with God. Because we cannot supply all the needs for each other in every way. We want to, but we must have a relationship with God, and that must be our source of refuge and stability in life. People will fail us. And if we are not anchored in God, the rock, when an individual fails us, we will get topsy-turvy. We can. We might get off course because of bitterness or whatever it is. Some may begin to rob, take things from other people that is not their own. They begin to rob. We say we would never do that. Well, maybe it means more than just robbing in the store. Still others may seek to find help. Well, let me say it this way. Still others, we may be tempted, I may be tempted to think that if I had just a little bit more money, if my riches increased a little bit more, then I would be happy. Then I would feel secure. But it's a false security. God, our rock. I'd like to conclude. Am I finding my refuge in God? Am I building and living a relationship with Him daily? Through Bible reading and prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Am I praising His name? And am I speaking for Him? Or am I seeking my help aside from Him in people and leaving God to the sidelines? God is a just God. Verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendest to every man according to his work. God is a God of mercy, but He's a God of justice. He is a just God, and we can trust in Him. His ways are true and right. In God is my salvation, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. I thought, we just have a few minutes here. I thought at the close of this, I would just open it up to any of you. If you want to share a testimony,